Of Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll notice in your bulletin that the verse of the week is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're going to take that theme and go to verse 23 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. While you're turning, make sure you pick up, today you can pick up your March calendar of activities. I don't know why we're giving you March already, but I guess it's going to be March this week. So make sure you pick that up. You have all the listings and the birthdays, and then I believe we got a 18-year-old today over here. Happy birthday, Brother Ryan, and God bless you. 18. Well, I wish I was 18 again. Then again, I'm not sure. I have to go through all of it again. Since then, I'm not sure I want to do it again. Oh, goodness. Thank the Lord for our young people. We thank God for you. Glad you're here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us young people into our wonderful fellowship. Speaking of wonderful young people, I had the glorious privilege just before the service to have a personal conversation on the phone all the way from Nepal, from Amber Durham. I'm telling you what's the truth. Keith came in my office, had her on the phone, got a chance to talk with Amber all the way in Nepal. And she's got a little bit of a cold, sounds like, but boy, she sounded good. It was great to talk to her, and that was just a wonderful privilege. Our own little missionary, and she's getting ready to go to the Philippines in, what, how many weeks? About a week. About a week, she'll be leaving Nepal, heading to the Philippines. That'll be her final country, and she'll be there for the rest of her time. And then you're going to be joining her in a couple weeks, I believe. Is that right? 8 days. All right. Then coming up. And you'll be here next Sunday, and then you'll be leaving after that. So be praying for Keith. Pray for Amber. I tell you what, that's exciting. And thank the Lord for them and continue to pray and bless them. That was good. Thank you for coming in. And it meant a lot to me. I was glad to hear her voice. That's the first time I've heard her voice since she left. And it's wonderful, wonderful. Thank God for it. Well, since we don't have our PowerPoint and our bulb is out, if you want to follow along with notes, you got to do it the old-fashioned way, and pen and paper. You know, they still use that. Did you know that? Teachers, y'all still have pen and paper in school, and that's right. So still use that. And so if you want to take notes, you got to do it that way and follow along. Stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. In this great chapter of the Heroes of the Faith. We're going to focus on Moses this morning. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray you bless the message this morning. Thank you for these precious people who have come, make up our church family. I pray, Lord, that in these moments we have together, that you'll do a great work among us, and everything that is said and done to bring honor and glory to your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated. Before I forget it, I was going to remind you that, Lord willing, beginning tonight in the evening service, I'm going to begin a series of messages on the seven churches of the book of Revelation. We're going to study this, each one of the churches individually. I'm going to introduce that study to us tonight. So I hope that you'll plan to be here. In a couple of weeks, we'll get to change the clocks, and it won't be as dark in the evening. So for some of you, that'll be a help. And so I hope that you'll be with us tonight. But this morning, I want to look at what I've entitled the message this morning, Making the Right Choices in a Life of Faith. Making the Right Choices in a Life of Faith. We see the story of Moses, and we know the story of Moses. We love the story of Moses. We can preach series of messages and go back and study the life and the work of Moses. And one of the great heroes of the Old Testament, and we see the many things that happen. And some of the things that are brought to light in this passage of Scripture give us more of into the insight of Moses and why he did what he did and what his life was about. But you know, you must understand that even with Moses and Joseph and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and all the others that are listed in the great Hall of Faith in chapter 11, every single one of them had to make the choice to follow God. They had to make the choice to follow in a life of faith. You cannot expect, just because your mama and daddy are Christians, that you're just going to automatically be a Christian. You're not going to expect it just because your grandma and grandpa are buried in the church cemetery, that for somehow, some way, that's supposed to translate into you being the kind of person that God wants you to be. You have to make a personal decision in your life. You have to come to one-on-one to that moment that for Moses, it was at the burning bush when God spoke to him and called him out to take him from the backside of the desert to lead the people out of Egypt. And we must make those choices in our own lives. We must come to the point where we can't rely upon what's happened in the past. We can't blame what's happened in the past. Amen. We can't sit around and blame somebody else or depend on somebody else to do it for us. I'm sad to say we live in a generation that seems like that's what they expect. Somebody else has always done it for them, and they don't make choices on their own. They don't know how to make a choice. Amen, brother. And they don't know how to live a life and don't know how to follow God. And so we see it reflecting in our culture. We see it reflecting in our economics and our politics. And sadly, we see it affecting in our churches. But Moses is a great example this morning of making the right choices when it comes to living a life of faith. I want to give you three areas this morning of how we can make those choices and what those choices will involve. Notice number one. Give you the word affection. Write that down. A-F-F-E-C-T-I-O-N. I got to spell things this morning because we don't have the PowerPoint. Affection. It's a choice that concerns affection. Notice in verse 24, it tells us that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We know the story that Moses, that he was hidden in the basket by his mother, and as sister watched from a distance, he was rescued from the Nile River out of that basket and taken up by Pharaoh's daughter and brought to the palace, and he was raised with all the benefits and all the expensive surroundings of the life of being brought up as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was, most of his upbringing, he was nourished in that Egyptian culture, in that Egyptian philosophy, and in that Egyptian false gods that surrounded him. And he was brought up in all of the things that were around him. His affections, that's all he knew, was the life of being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Could you imagine, as he never had to worry about his education, because he had the finest education. He had the finest clothes. He had the greatest food. He had everything that he could ever want and ever need. And he was nourished and he was brought up to be a great Egyptian. But God had other plans. God was working in the midst. And there came a day when Moses realized He was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There came a day when he realized that he was a Jew. He was an Israelite. Those that were in bondage and slavery, that was his people. So he had to make a choice. He makes that choice there in verse 24 by saying he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice concerning his affection. You may have to choose one day where your affections lie. You may have to make a decision to separate yourself from friends, or maybe even family, who do not serve the Lord, who do not follow by faith a walk with Christ, who decide that they're going to live after culture and popularity and money and fame and fortune. You may have to decide where your affections lie. Who do you choose to follow? Who are you going to choose to live a life in giving of yourself? You see, Moses' affection was not with the Egyptians, but it was with the God of Israel. It was with another group of people who were in bondage, in slavery. He realized, and somehow he knew, and was led to believe and was told who he was. You may have to choose. And some of the times those choices will be very difficult. You may have to choose not to take that job or that promotion. You may have to choose to take another job or take another direction because of your affection and faith of following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand that one day we will stand before God and we will give an account before Him and Him alone for our life as a believer. You won't stand before this preacher.
Amen.
You won't stand before these deacons. You won't stand before your mama and your daddy and your grandma and your grandpa. You won't stand before your wife or your husband. You'll stand before God Almighty and give an account of your life of faith as a Christian, and whether you will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or whether you will hear, "Sorry, you blew it. You don't get any rewards." You do get into heaven, but it's by the skin of your teeth. But there's nothing that you have to show for your life of faith of living for the Lord. I'm sad to say, I think there's a lot of folks who are more concerned about what people think in this world than they are concerned what God thinks. And your affections are more concerned about being popular, about being friendly, about getting along with the crowd and not making waves or not doing anything else. Instead, Moses made that very difficult decision. Understand what he was leaving behind. He was leaving behind Pharaoh's daughters, everything. He was leaving behind the palace and all that went with it. Concerning your affection, where does your affection lie this morning? Are you more concerned about the things of God or the things of this world? Are you more concerned about following God's will for your life? Are you more concerned about doing what you want to do? What's your preference? What's your prejudice? What's your guideline? And what do you think ought to happen? Or are you more concerned about stepping out by faith and choosing the affections of God and following His direction in your life? Moses made that choice because he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But it's not just affection this morning that we see with Moses, but notice number two, there was also affliction. That's affliction. Affliction. Now, if I misspell it, one of you teachers help me out, okay? All right. Affliction. Notice in verse 25, it says that he choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a choice. And it was a choice that he knew he was going to have to identify with the people of God, so he's going to have to suffer what they're suffering. He chose. Too many times, people choose the pleasures of sin. And it's out there in the world. It tempts all of us. It's there to tempt men and women, teenagers, young people, married couples, older couples. There is temptations of all kinds to take us away from following a life of the Lord Jesus Christ, a life of faith, of walking with Him. But it's interesting how that the Word of God chooses to word this. Notice that He gives us the wording here that to enjoy the pleasures of sin, and notice the next phrase, for a season. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. It may look like, well, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened. I know that I'm not supposed to do it. I know it's a violation of everything I've been taught. But it just looks like so much fun and everybody's doing it. What difference is it going to make? I'm not hurting anybody. Let's live it up. But it'll only be for a season. It will only be for a short time. Those pleasures do not last very long. However, the tragic results of making that choice can live with you for so much longer than you could ever imagine. The tragic results of choosing the pleasures of sin, even for a season, the tragic results could live with you for the rest of your life. Not just the guilt, but the reactions, the things that could happen as a result. There's a many of people sitting in this audience today, I'm sure, that if we gave time for testimony, could stand and say, I wish I had not made that choice. Amen. For that season. I'm still living with the results of that choice. Amen. And there are many folks who, you know, that's why I know sometimes young people look at us and say, we're just a bunch of old codgers and we're old fogies and we're old fashioned and, you know, we just got to get hip. We got to get with the times and we got to get in, you know. And I want to tell you something. There's a bunch of us who have lived where you're facing today. And there are some of us who wish we had made better choices. Our lives would have been different. But the affliction that Moses chooses, he chooses to endure the affliction with the people of God. I'll just be honest with you. And almost 30 years coming up real soon that I've been in the ministry. And in my life and walking with God, I have seen so much. And it breaks my heart for people to make the choices that they do when they ought to know better. But still, I contend to you that on the authority of the Word of God and the Lord knowing my heart this morning, I would rather follow Jesus and endure and suffer whatever that may entail than to step out into the world and do their stuff even for just a little while and turn my back on God. Because I want to tell you something, it's a whole lot better when we walk with God, no matter what we must endure, than it is to live it up in the world. Because the results of that, they don't show you those things on the commercials when they advertise the liquor and the beer. They don't advertise what the results of the broken homes from all the gambling and the lottery tickets. They don't advertise the brokenness of lives that are shattered because of living it up in the pleasures of sin. They don't show you that. But Moses chose. He made a choice. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to stay with God's people. And it may not be the bed of roses that other people want to have, but I'd rather have God on my side, and I'd rather be walking in His presence than for all of the things the world could offer. You know, I can't help but think of that great song that George Beverly Shea would sing. I'd rather have Jesus than all of the things of this world could offer. Boy, I tell you what, that's exactly the case of Moses in this verse of Scripture in verse 25. He chose the people of God instead of the pleasures of sin. Folks, if I can beg you this morning, look beyond the temptation. Look beyond the here and the now. Look beyond of what it will cost you down the road. And make the choice to follow a life of faith with God. Make the choice of affliction. Jesus, throughout his teaching, told us that we would have to endure temptation. We would have to endure persecution. We would endure suffering. But all along, Jesus is going to be right there with us. He'll help us. And he'll walk with you every single day. You may not be the most popular, but hey, popularity is not going to get you to heaven. You may not be the most well-known and the most wealthy person. Those things will not get you into heaven. But following Jesus, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford. Notice number three and last. We see in verse 26, we see the word affluence. Now, we'll have to spell that. Make sure you follow along with me and stay with me on this one, because this is the main point of the message. Moses had to make a choice, and it concerned affluence. A-F-F-L-U-E-N-C-E. Affluence. Affluence. There are so many people today that are just, as I mentioned a while ago, it seems that we live in a culture where everything's just given, people expect everything given to you. And you don't have to make decisions, you don't have to do things for yourself. I'll never forget when I went to college. First roommate that I had was one of my best friends, who ended up being one of my best friends. He was a senior. And then another guy joined our room, and he didn't stay very long. He didn't like making his bed. Now, that was too bad, because if you're going to stay in our room, you were going to keep your room neat and clean. I kept my room neat and clean. I made my bed before I left to go to school every morning. You could bounce a quarter off the quilt, and it'd bounce right back up to you. I mean, I learned hospital corners. I learned military tucks. I mean, I learned it all. And so this fellow, who was from somewhere out west, and he had never been away from home in his life, thought that somehow or another the elves come in the middle of the night to pick up your clothes. And somehow they get folded and the laundry gets done. Somehow or another, everything that you leave out sort of magically gets taken out by the trash, and you never have to pick up or do anything. Well, he learned real quick that if he was going to live in our dorm room, he was going to pick up after himself. He's going to keep his place clean. He's going to keep his stuff clean. He's going to leave my stuff alone. And no one ever told him that before. It wasn't very long. I came back from class one day, and all his stuff was gone. And I thought to myself, wonder what happened. Well, he found another room. He found somebody that was a little more lenient and more along his liking of things, because he had never had to do that before. Word got around that in room 111 of the Phillips dorm at Tennessee Temple University, if you lived in that dorm room, you're going to have to keep it up clean. You're going to have to keep it neat. There was something called pledge. They'd never seen pledge. They didn't know what to do with pledge. It's called dusting. It's got a dust rag with it. One guy had never turned on a vacuum cleaner. He didn't know how to turn it on. He didn't know what to do with it. He soon learned. He moved out too. And you say, well, preacher, boy, you must have been real hard. Well, I won a contest. I'll just be honest with you. We had a contest one year at homecoming week, all the alumni coming in. And they were coming in and visiting. So they had a contest throughout the whole campus. Girls' dorms, men's dorms, all the dorm houses. And there was going to be a winner in the girls' dorm rooms, and there was going to be a winner in the guys' dorm rooms. And the neatest, cleanest, most inviting dorm room was going to get this really nice reward. Guess who won? Oh, yeah. Sure did. I mean, we had it all set. My roommate, he lives in North Carolina now. He's married to a North Carolina girl. He was from Rochester, New York, by the way, Brother Gary, Laurel. And he got right with God and married somebody from North Carolina like I did. So, and moved to North Carolina after that. So he and I had won a contest for the neatest dorm room. People come by and they said, we should have known. There were so many people who moved out because they didn't want to make their bed and keep it neat and clean. Now, affluence. Affluence. Notice in verse 26. Says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He esteemed. That means he considered. That word means he made a conscious choice. He decided. He made a choice that it was better to enjoy the reproach of Christ as being greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. The treasures of Egypt were at his disposal. He could have had all of it. He could have enjoyed all the benefits of that. Instead, he esteemed, he considered, he decided that in living a life for Christ was considered greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Affluence is a great problem in our society today. I read a story where there was a man who was accused of drunk driving, crashed his car, brought before a judge, asked what his plea was. And he pled, quote, I'm guilty by reason of affluenza. And the judge looked at him and he said, I believe that's a first for me. You're going to have to explain that. And his lawyer said, sir, this man has had everything he ever wanted. No one in his life has ever told him no. He could do what he wanted to do. He could have what he wanted to have. He could live the way he wanted to live. And as a result, he never learned the difference between right and wrong. Sadly, this man did not serve any jail time for his drunk driving crash. He was sentenced to counseling for his quote-unquote condition of affluenza. I think this is a problem for many Christians. Growing up in a culture around us, we seem to think that when God tells us no, that He really doesn't mean it. That when God tells us to go, that's open for discussion. That when God tells us to stop, that we ought to be able to talk about it before we have to stop. But as a result, many Christians still this day have a hard time determining between right and wrong when it comes to serving God. When it comes to following the will of God, we want to ask, what does everybody else think? We want to find those folks who think like we do. We know what we want to do instead. So here's what we do. We do like all of the political polls. We find all the people who agree with our side of the issue, and we go ask them the questions, and we put out a poll saying certain large percentage of people think this way. And that's a problem in most churches. That's a problem with a lot of Christians today. We identify with people who think like we do instead of following God. We want to kind of buddy up with everybody who goes the way we want to go. Affluence is dangerous. And Moses made a choice. He considered and he decided that a life of faith, of following Christ, even though you would be made fun of, even though you endure the persecution and suffering as a people of God, he considered that, notice, greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And if you knew what the treasures of Egypt considered and what all made up that, you would have to understand Moses gave up a lot of the things of this world to make the choice to follow God. You see, when it comes down to it, as a way of conclusion this morning, it's this. We have to make choices, the right choices, when it comes to a life of faith. When it comes to serving God, God has given some of you in this church the opportunity of leadership. He's given you the opportunity of teaching, of ministering, and serving. With that does not automatically come just to ebb and flow and go down the stream and everything's hunky-dory. You have to make choices when it comes to following a life of faith. You have to make choices of serving God. You have to choose to follow the Lord by faith. Now, if everything was laid out for us, if everything was from here to the time we get to heaven, if we know exactly how it's going to work out, we could enjoy it today a lot more. Because we know what's going on. We could prepare ourselves. But wait a minute. God doesn't work that way. The psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Based on the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, all God wants you to do is walk by faith one step at a time. One step at a time is all he asks. You say, well, I don't know how we're going to pay for it. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how that's going to work out. And God is saying, but I do know how it's going to work out. Just trust me. Just follow me. If Moses had seen all that was going to take place with him following God the way it was, I'm not so sure he'd ever left the backside of the desert. I believe he'd been content to sit there and watch that bush just keep on burning. Because look at all that he would endure for the next 40-something years of leading the people of God. But he chose to follow God by faith. God is asking you to make that same decision. God is asking you to step out and follow him by faith. Trust him. Make the right choice. It's not worth it to spend a season in the pleasures of sin. It's not worth it to live a life of where everything is just given to you and you don't know the difference between right and wrong. It's not worth it to have your affection set somewhere else. Choose to follow God. Walk by faith. Make the right choice. Let's pray today. Would you join me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Vicki and Jeannie are coming to prepare to lead us in a hymn of invitation this morning. Today, we all are making choices. Right this moment, you're making a choice of whether you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit of God directing you in your life right now on a decision that you need to make, or where you're choosing to just, with these other issues that we've talked about. It's your choice. God doesn't force His choice upon you. He will cause you to suffer the results of poorly made choices, but He will also reward you in a life of faith of the right choices. Some of you are looked upon by leaders as others by being leaders and teachers. You're directors, you're ministry team leaders, you serve in different capacities in the ministry of this church. God wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to trust Him. I wish as your pastor I could tell you everything that you want to know of what it means to walk by faith, but I can't. I still have to make my own choices. I still have to trust God for my own self. But I do know this. There's nothing sweeter than knowing that you're in the will of God and following the plan of God for your life, than always looking around and always wondering how in the world it's going to work out. Moses had to make a choice. You have to make a choice today. Some of you have to make the choice to accept Christ as your Savior. You've never followed Him by faith. You've used every reason and every excuse, and you've used all these other things, but when it comes right down to it, you have to make the choice to accept for your own salvation, for your personal eternal destiny at stake, to choose to follow Christ and accept Him by faith as your Savior. Confess your sins. Trust Him as the only way to heaven today. And at many of you as Christians, as members of this church, each and every day you have a choice to either live by faith or choose to go your own way. Some of you have been making wrong choices lately. Some of you just don't seem to have enough faith to step out and just trust God. Whatever you need to do this morning, this altar is open. Our deacons will be here to pray with you. Others will be at the front to pray with you. Step out by faith. Let God have His way in your life today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Moses. I pray that this morning that we would learn what it means to step out by faith, make the right choices, trust you today. This I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Jeannie's